Good evening. We're glad that you're out here to join us this evening for our worship services. We're going to begin our worship in song, if you're able. Will you stand with me as we sing a couple of songs all together? We'll start with I Will Call Upon the Lord. We'll sing Step by Step and finish with a couple of verses of Holy, Holy, Holy. I will call upon the Lord. This one. Oh God,
you are my God.
Step by step, you'll
seated and we'll be led in prayer.
Let's go, God, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have another opportunity to gather together and to worship you. And Lord, we pray that as we praise you and as we go into your word, that we are strengthened by it, that we are encouraged by it, and we pray that it is pleasing to you. Dear Lord, we pray for our world. And we know that there's always darkness and temptation and ways of living that are contrary to what we read in your word. And Lord, when we see the violence at the scale that it's reaching, we can have a feeling of being helpless and discomfort. And we pray that we always remember who we serve and that your will be done and that the victory has already been won. And Lord, we pray that we do not forget the doors that are open here, the opportunities you've put in front of us to do your work, the ministries that are involved here, and our day-to-day lives, the people we interact with. We know that we have the power of your word, of your gospel. We pray that we speak it and that we live it, and that we show those around us that there is a better way of life, that there is a life of peace with you, that there is a life in your grace and your kindness and your love and the freedom that brings. And that's all through your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Tonight, Tim's lesson is on the safety that we find in Psalm 46. Almost 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote the song we're about to sing and was leaning heavily on that thought from Psalm 46 when he wrote A Mighty Fortress. We don't agree with a lot of things that maybe Martin Luther taught, but what a beautiful song and a beautiful message to prepare minds for Tim's lesson tonight. So let's sing this song together, and then we'll have our scripture reading, and Tim will bring us our lesson.
A mighty fortress is our God. To work us woe.
Good evening. This scripture reading will come from Psalm 46, 1 through 5. Psalm 46, 1 through 5. And I will be reading from the ESV. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into our hearts of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitations of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning's dawn.
Good evening. Good to see each of you with us this evening. Glad you are here, and if you're visiting with us, we're really glad that you've come our way. Hope you'll come and join us anytime you can. And all of you visiting with us online, we're glad that you have done that as well. We're thankful that you have chosen to worship with us, whether it be live or later, you come and watch the recorded version of our service. But we're just thankful that you are joining us for that. Hope you've had a good day. It's been not terrible, not bad, not great, but it's been a good day. And it was good to be together this morning. It's good, again, to be together this evening. And tonight, I hope you will be able to stay with us for a little bit after we conclude our service. We're going to have a fond farewell for Sherilyn and Harrison Morgan and Ella Rose. They are going to be moving away from us in a couple of weeks, and we do hate to see them go. We didn't give them permission. Let's put that on the record. But they are moving to be closer to family, and we understand that. But they've been a great part of the work here. They got involved from day one, and we appreciate that so much. And we wish them very well for whatever lies ahead for them. But do come and join us downstairs afterward if you can. And let's wish them a fond farewell. See, even Ella's protesting, leaving. Treat the child better than that, would you? All right, get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God and learn things that God has there for us that will make our lives better, that will help us deal with the things that we go through in life. In 1939, there was a film that came out that you know about this film, The Wizard of Oz. I remember growing up, it was an annual event, and we wanted to get home from Sunday evening worship as quickly as possible so we could watch The Wizard of Oz. And it was a long time before I knew that the beginning of that movie was in color. And then, the beginning was not in color, and then when they got to the Emerald City, I guess. Is that how it was? See, I don't... Emerald City, is that not Oz? Well, okay. Come on up and take over. We had a black and white TV, so I never knew about the color part of it. But of course, you know the storyline. Dorothy and her dog Toto are caught up in a tornado that strikes their Kansas home. They're running to get into the shelter, but then Dorothy realizes the dog has gotten out. She's got to go get him. And while she's out getting the dog, the tornado strikes. And of course, that's where it all begins. But it does show that we've got issues that we have to deal with sometimes. Natural disasters, sometimes man-made disasters. And there's plenty of those in this life. Tornadoes, like in the movie, is one example of that. Hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and then there's the man-made variety, which are, you know, wars and riots and crime and just all kinds of things that can strike us and just turn our world upside down. That's why we're looking tonight at Psalm 46, and I'm going to give your fingers a break tonight. We're going to stay in Psalm 46. So I want you to go ahead and turn to that. I want you to see it for yourself. And while you're turning there, let me read something that Derek Kidner wrote in the Tyndale Old Testament commentaries on this particular psalm. He said Psalm 46's robust, defiant tone suggests that it was composed at a time of crisis, a time of crisis which makes the confession of faith doubly impressive. And so you might say, we're looking tonight at a confession of faith for a time of crisis. And I think we all agree the last few days have been crisis. Maybe not so much for, you know, our direct lifestyle in America, but as we've seen on television and read in the media about what's going on in Israel and Palestine and what could be brewing in a larger area, it's really shaken people. I've talked with several people that have just been really upset, have not been able to focus on things as they normally would. And I thought, well, we need something from God's word. And to me, this is one of those places I would go. Because in my mind, Psalm 46 stresses to us our place of safety. Can we find such a place on earth? Psalm 46 says, yes, we can. So let's look at that together. Now, I'm going to divide this into three sections, three different trains of thought that I find in Psalm 46. And the first is what I call when the earth moves. When the earth moves. Now, I understand the earth is moving all the time. We are rotating on our axis at a pretty good speed, and yet we don't feel it. We don't notice that. We're also orbiting around the sun, and we don't notice that, even though the speed of that is pretty significant. And that's remarkable, isn't it, that God designed that so that we feel like we're standing on firm and stable ground. And yet there are times when it's almost like the world is falling apart. And that's what we see in Psalm 46 and verse 1. Let's begin there in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And there's the word that stands out, trouble. Trouble here is from a Hebrew word that means distress. Distress, and that comes in all kinds of sizes, shapes. There's lots of things that can cause us distress. And as we read on, you're going to see there were some things that might have been happening that just felt like really stressful things. But he says God is our help in times of trouble. Look on in verse 2, and you'll begin to get an idea of what it was like. We may not know the exact nature of the crisis that was being faced, but here's what it felt like. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. Though the earth gives way. There's one way of describing how the crisis was at that time. And the earth giving way makes me think of something like a sinkhole opening up. And we hear about that occasionally. It happens here in our area. It happens in many places throughout the world. What was thought to be stable ground has been washed out underneath, maybe by man-made infrastructure, maybe by underground streams. But all of a sudden, the earth gives way. And maybe you remember in Numbers chapter 16, we're not going to read that passage right now, but in Numbers 16, we have a fellow named Korah who led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron and Miriam. He and others were saying, well, we're just as smart as they are. Why can't we call the shots? And Moses called for a confrontation. And while they were there, Moses prayed to God and said, if it be true that I am God's appointed leader, then may the ground open up and swallow up Korah and his family. And that's exactly what happened. And not only did the ground open up, and we see that a lot, what a coincidence. No, the earth closed back over them after they had fallen out of sight. And you read in that passage, the people that were there watching the events, and it was a big thing. A lot of the people of Israel were there. They fled in fear. And don't you know, we would be doing the same thing? When the earth gives way, when that kind of thing happens, we're just gripped by fear, and we want to run, but where? I mean, this is the earth. This is terra firma. And all of a sudden, it's not so firma. It's just opened up underneath us. And so where do you go? And then read on in verse 2, and there's another image that is there. Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Mountains are often used as an image of stability and strength. The Rock of Gibraltar, one of our major insurance companies has chosen that as their symbol of strength and stability. We're going to be here. And that's normally what you think of when you see mountains like that. I see the Matterhorn in videos, and I think, man, that is just so stable. It's going to be there until God says not. But here is a time when what we thought would never be moved is now moved into the depths of the sea. And how do you feel when that kind of thing happens? You're gripped with fear. You want to run, but where? And then he goes on in verse 3, and adds to that, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. I mean, things are happening. We don't know what to do because that in which we had placed our trust can no longer be trusted. Things of this world that we thought we could trust, we now realize we can't. And then once more, go down to verse 6 of Psalm 46 and notice another image of how, you know, the earth is moving. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. And here we have a man-made disaster, and it looks like a league of nations has come together, maybe like in Psalm 2, where all of them have joined together and say, we're going to break the bands of the Almighty. He's no longer going to rule over us. And here the kingdoms rage, much like what we're seeing now in the Middle East. And what happens? The kingdoms totter. In fact, in the Hebrew, that word for totter is the same as for move, back up in verse 2. And so you've got everything around us, it seems, is capable of moving on us. And what do you do at times like that? So twice here, that Hebrew word mot is used to speak of things moving that we never thought would. We see here the mountains, we see the earth itself, we see the waters are now raging, we see nations tottering. And so when the earth moves, what do you do? And that's what people right now are trying to reason in their mind. What will we do if this breaks out into all-out war and lots of nations get involved? Will it be World War III and our minds race? Or about things we have no idea what will happen. We have no control over it. But that doesn't stop us from fretting about it. And that's why we move on to the second point of Psalm 46, and that is, we will not fear. Though the earth moves, we will not fear. Maybe you've seen that phrase, no fear. That's been a popular phrase, and in the past few years, it's not as big now as it was, but people would wear shirts with the phrase, no fear. And what does that mean? Does that mean you're making some kind of brash statement about, I'm not afraid of anybody. You know, I can manage anything. Braggadocio is a word that comes to my mind, not a very common word. But here's somebody that said, that's going to scare me. And yet it will when these kinds of things happen. But is that what the psalmist is saying? We're just going to be okay. Don't worry about that. No, there's reasons. There are strong reasons for not being afraid and for saying, therefore, we will not fear. Let's go back to verse 1 again and notice the very first word in the psalm. And this is the key. God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There it is. That's why we will not fear. Because God is the reason for our confidence. He is the reason for our stability. We don't put our trust in earthly things because they often give way. They often totter. But God is stable. God is everlasting. And you'll notice in this psalm, there's other ways of designating God. For example, he's referred in verse 4 to the Most High. Or in verses 7 and 11, the Lord of hosts, talking about the armies that God has at his disposal, the armies of angels. And then again in verses 7 and 11, the God of Jacob, referring to the covenant that God has made with his people at that time. And so this is what we want to keep our focus on, according to this psalm, is God is the reason we will not fear. Now, look down at verse 4 to continue this idea that we will not fear. He says, there is a river, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, what does he mean by the city of God? It's not the infrastructure. It's not the buildings. It's the people who have removed themselves from the world and have aligned themselves with God. This is the city of God. It's the population of the city that he's talking about. And notice now, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, in the verse prior to that, you have water that is just roaring and trembling and causing all kinds of fear. That's not what we're talking about in verse 5, or rather in verse 4. This is a river with streams that make glad the people of God, the city of God. In fact, I found this comment by John Walton in the Cultural Background Study Bible. He says that though the word river, the Hebrew word river, can also refer to the destructive cosmic waters, here river is qualified by the word stream, which connotes peaceful, controlled, life-giving water. You know, most of the time we look at a creek and we say, oh, how nice. And when you were like my sister and me, we grew up in the mountains and our drinking water came from a mountain stream. And that was a very pleasant place to go. It was a nice place. But if it becomes raging and destructive and carrying away trees and rocks, you want to run away from that. Well, that's not the picture you get in verse 4, because here we have the river that makes glad the city of God. And then he says the holy habitation of the Most High. And then in verse 5, look at the first part of verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God is in the midst of who? The city of God. And that word for moved is, again, the same word that we've seen twice already in Psalm 46, talking about the earth being moved and nations and kingdoms tottering. But the city of God will not be moved. The city of God is stable. It will be there when all else has gone away. And that's because God is our refuge and our strength. And then down to verses 8 and 9. And at first, you know, you might think, well, this sounds violent. But think about what it's saying. It says in verses 8 and 9, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And again, you might say, well, that sounds very violent to me. But what is his anger directed at? The instruments of destruction. He is destroying that which is used for destruction. And in essence, it's saying God will make peace when the time is right. God can step in and intervene. And today, tonight, if in the next 3 minutes he decides, I'm going to stop the fighting in Israel and everything will be calm, he can do that. He has that power. That's the God in whom we take refuge, in whom we find our strength. And so when he says, we will not fear, it's not braggadocio. It is a statement of fact based on the God we serve. We have good reason to maintain our calm and our composure while everyone around us is going crazy, wondering what's going to happen next. Well, that's not for us to know. We just know God is in control. The third part of Psalm 46, maybe the most needed part, be still and know. Be still and know. Bad news and events can trigger emotions, powerful emotions. And we can give way to those emotions and just run havoc. You know, we can go in every direction, like the chicken with its head cut off, as we often say. And yet that doesn't change anything. And so panic will grip our hearts and we're plunged into despair until we grab ourselves and say, wait a minute, where is my faith? Where is that faith that I have in the Almighty God? And so that's why in Psalm 46, God calls us to contemplate. God calls us to contemplate. Look with me again in verse 5 of Psalm 46 and the latter part of verse 5. The latter part of verse 5, Psalm 46. God will help her when morning dawns. Now notice there is a time given there, not a specific time, but it suggests not yet. There will be times when it's dark, but dawn is coming. And God will help when morning dawns. That is the assurance that we are given. The Expositor's Bible Commentary makes this comment: the help of God at break of dawn suggests that in the darkness of distress, the people of God know that the Lord will not let them suffer unduly long. His acts of unfailing love are renewed each morning. And then he quoted Lamentations 3 for that particular idea. But the idea is, you know, right now it's kind of dark. We have no idea what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow, the next week, the next year. But God is going to bring everything to a good conclusion. God will act when morning dawns, whenever he sees it is the right time to do that. And then go down to verse 10. This is maybe the most familiar of the verses of Psalm 46, where he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." God will be exalted. There's no doubt about that. Do I know that? Have I stopped to think about that? That's why I need to be still, to be silent, to back off a bit. And as we might say, take a deep breath. Because your emotions are just running wild, stop and think. And remind yourself, what has God said? What are the promises of God? And that's why he's saying, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Even though the nations and the earth may not acknowledge me, in due time, I will be exalted. It reminds me of the incident in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. You remember this, where Israel has been granted, you know, the Egyptians finally said, get out. You know, all of these plagues and now the death of the firstborn, get out, leave right now. And they leave, they get out of there. And now they come to the Red Sea. How do we get across? And they look behind them and there comes the army of Pharaoh, galloping along. They're going to take them back to Egypt. And so what do we do? I mean, can you imagine the panic that ensued and how they were in the grip of fear? And yet Moses in Exodus 14 and verse 13, and one translation puts it this way, "Don't be afraid, stand still, and you will see the Lord save you today." In other words, just calm down. God's got this. And God did have that. God parted the Red Sea, gave them time to get across. In fact, interposed a darkness and a fog of some sort between them and the Egyptians so they could not get to them as they made their journey through the Red Sea. And then after they got across, the Egyptian army gets into the Red Sea. And again, the Israelites must have been thinking, well, what good is that? They're coming after us. And at the right moment, God caused the sea to fall back in and drowned all of the Egyptian army. You see, be still is a good reminder. Even though we're panicking, even though we're in despair because of how things are, be still and know that I am God. I also think of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. Habakkuk, the prophet, had been complaining to God, you know, look at how bad things are, Lord. The people of Judah are just terrible. And God tells him, in essence, I've made the plans already. The Babylonians are coming to take care of this. And Habakkuk said, what? They're worse than we are. How are you doing that, Lord? And this is what we find in Habakkuk 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You know, our hand-wringing and our wailing doesn't accomplish much. Doesn't accomplish anything, really. But when we stop to remember the Lord, that calms our souls. That gives us the confidence, the stability, the ground on which to stand when everything around us has been falling in. And then let's also look at verse 1 again. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And verse 11, the same thing. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Why the repetition? I mean, essentially, verse 1 is the same as verses 7 and 11. Why repetition? Because we need it. We need to pound into our minds, God is with us. And yeah, there are going to be a lot of times in our lives when the earth moves, yet we will not fear because the Lord is with us. The Lord is our refuge and our fortress. We'll be all right because we are the people of God. Earlier, the sons of Korah who wrote this psalm, Psalm 46, also wrote Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and look at verse 5 for just a moment. I told you I wouldn't run you around, but here's one that I think you should look at. Psalm 42 in verse 5, where again, this idea of, you know, I'm panicking, I'm in great distress, but wait a minute, what am I forgetting? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And that's a theme you see often in the Psalms. The Psalm may begin with, you know, oh my goodness, things are awful, they're terrible, it's not ever going to be any better. And then they say, oh, wait a minute, what am I forgetting? God is on my side, God is with me, why am I panicking? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And so this psalm is saying, contemplate before the earth moves. Regularly remind yourself, we live for God. And who is God? He is the master of all. He's the one that can calm the raging sea. He's the one that brought the universe into existence with just his word. He's the one that loves us so much. He gave his son to die for us. And thinking about those kinds of things will give us calm when our neighbors have none of it. We know where our faith is. One thing is certain about life on this earth, and that is that problems are going to come, just as surely as storms are going to come. And sometimes those storms in our lives are major. And they really threaten our security, and we get all panicky, we lose our calm. But I want you to think about the words of Jesus as we close John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. He's talking in that chapter about, I am the good shepherd. We are his sheep, if we are his children. And he says in verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. A lot of people will use that to say, well, you can never be lost once you're saved. Jesus said, if you're in my hand, you'll never be touched by the enemy, but you can choose to step out of my hand. A sheep can go astray, as he uses parables to demonstrate that. But what this is saying is, when I choose to place myself in the safekeeping of the Lord, then I know I'm going to be all right. I mean, physically, bad things may happen to me, but eternally, I'm going to be all right. No one will ever snatch me out of the hand of my Lord and my Father. I think those are things we need to think about a lot in times of turmoil like we're going through right now. And maybe you can help your friends and neighbors to see the same things. There's value in living for the Lord. Are you living for the Lord tonight? Have you obeyed the gospel and become his child, his follower, his sheep? If you have heard the gospel and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're ready to turn away from sin, repenting of it, and tonight we'll confess him before others and say, I believe he is God's son. I'm not ashamed of that. And tonight, obey his command to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you'll do those few things that take just moments to do, you'll leave here part of the flock that Jesus will take care of in any situation. And if you've done that and yet you have turned away, if sin has pulled you away and off the path, you need to come home. We'd love to pray with you as you repent of sin, confess if it's publicly known. If you just need prayer for strength and help, let us know. Let us help you as we come, as we stand together and sing.
Maybe that there are some who did not have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper this morning, and if you need to, we will be offering that in just a moment. If you need the bread or the juice for that, it's in the back on the tables. And to prepare our minds for that, we'll sing, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed?" The first, second, and fourth verse.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he be looked as sacred for such a one as I? At the cross where I cursed all,
Is there anyone in the auditorium who needs to have a communion set brought to them? If so, please raise your hand. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I want to read a portion of Luke's account of the crucifixion. This is in Luke 23, and I'm going to begin in verse 33. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Now there was also an inscription above him, "This is the King of the Jews." And then skipping down to verse 44, "And it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun being obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Let's join in prayer. Father, we give thanks for the bread we're about to partake of. Father, we know this represents Christ's own body, that he was willing to have his body placed on the cross in our stead and take upon himself our sins. For all these things, Lord, we give you thanks. We pray this in his name. Amen. Let's pray again. Lord, we give you thanks for this fruit of the vine. We know that Jesus bled for us, and we know that in his blood we have the remission of sins. He paid the debt that we could not pay. And for this, we are thankful, and we praise you, Father, for this great thing. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's also have a prayer for the contributions that will be made. Let's pray. Lord, how you have blessed us so abundantly. Day after day, your blessings come. We have truly everything that we need supplied by you. We don't always have everything we want, but we have everything we need. And we are so thankful for this, Lord. And as we make our contributions into the treasury of the church, our prayer is that they will be used in a wise manner, that will be used to further the kingdom, and in their being used, you will be honored and glorified. And this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful day you've given us, the opportunities that you've given the youth group today to go spend some time with other youths around the area at Stony Creek, Lord. Thank you for the rain we've got yesterday, and thank you for helping us to always do your will. Thank you for sending your son on the cross to die for our sins. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I was given no announcements.